Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Sunday, October 22nd episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. A lot of great listening over there, over 60 well-curated podcasts, wide variety of topics, all approached from a Christian worldview. Definitely worth your while. I will guarantee you're going to find something over there to listen to, and there's a real possibility you're going to find more over there to listen to than you actually have time to listen to it in. So again, I would encourage you to go on over there. I also want to continue to point you at the next to last link in our show notes. It is for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Gives In Go campaign. We are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can commit to establishment of a Christian classic education-based school to provide a trustworthy alternative in our community. So go ahead and click on the link and take a read. Pastor Jay's provided a very thorough description of what we're trying to do, and then we would ask three things of you. We'd ask you to pray for us, we'd ask you to prayerfully consider giving to us, and we'd ask you to pass the link along so that others can do the same. Also want to point you at the last link in the show notes. I actually turned on, because some people had asked, you know, how they could do it. The link in Anchor, well, what is it, Spotify for Podcasters now, whatever they're calling it. For listener support, if you want to actually financially support the podcast, it doesn't offer a variety of options really. It's kind of set up almost like a subscriber service. Though believe me, I don't have any subscription content. I won't put anything behind a paywall. I kind of left it in the default settings so you could give 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, and $9.99 a month, I think. I'm kind of looking into see if I can find one that can just do a one-time gift kind of thing. If you'd rather give that way, most people I know would rather give that way than do some kind of monthly thing. But either way, you know, definitely we would appreciate the help, but we're not trying to do it for money. Obviously that would help, with equipment and any of that, because as much as I use a free platform, it's not necessarily free to do this. However, I'm doing this for the glory of God. So again, I'm not trying to do this to make money, to try to supplement my income or anything like that. But if you do want to support the podcast, please go ahead and click on that link and it'll take you to where you can decide about giving. All right. Well, with it being Sunday, obviously we're not going to be doing any Bible study this evening or an evening segment. We'll be picking that back up Monday evening, God willing, and we'll be moving on through John chapter 14. We're moving on speaking about the legacy of Christ. But what we are going to do is go ahead and do our Bible reading for the day. So let's go ahead and open up with the Lord's Day morning prayer. It's called, it's called the Lord's Day morning prayer. So let's go ahead and let's pray. O maker and upholder of all things, day and night are thine. They are also mine from thee. The night to rid me of the cares of the day, to refresh my weary body, to renew my natural strength, the day to summon me to new activities, to give me opportunity to glorify thee, to serve my generation, to acquire knowledge, holiness, eternal life. But one day above all days is made especially for thy honor and my improvement. The Sabbath reminds me of thy rest from creation, of the resurrection of my Savior, of his entering into repose. Thy house is mine, but I am unworthy to meet thee there, and am unfit for spiritual service. When I enter it, I come before thee as a sinner, condemned by conscience and thy word. For I am still in the body and in the wilderness, ignorant, weak, in danger, and in need of thine aid, but encouraged by thy all-sufficient grace. Let me go to thy house with a lively hope of meeting thee, knowing that there thou wilt come to me and give me peace. my soul is drawn out to thee in longing desires, for thy presence in the sanctuary, at the table where all are entertained on a feast of good things. Let me, before the broken elements, emblems of thy dying love, cry to thee with broken heart for grace and forgiveness. I long for that blissful communion of thy people, in thy eternal house, in the perfect kingdom. These are they that follow the Lamb. May I be of their company. Amen. All right, our morning devotion. Wow, sorry, I have a pop-up over this. Yeah, there we go. Sorry, the morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for October 22nd. The text is from Hosea 14:4. I will love them freely. This sentence is a body of divinity in miniature. He who understands its meaning is a theologian, and he who can dive into its fullness is a true master in Israel. It is a condensation of the glorious message of salvation, which was delivered to us in Christ Jesus our Redeemer. The sense hinges upon the word freely. This is the glorious, the suitable, the divine way by which love streams from heaven to earth, a spontaneous love flowing forth to those who neither deserve it, purchased it, nor sought after it. It is indeed the only way in which God can love such as we are. The text is a death blow to all sorts of fitness. I will love them freely. Now, if there were any fitness necessary in us, then he would not love us freely. At least this would be a mitigation and a drawback to the freeness of it. But it stands. I will love you freely. We complain, Lord, my heart is so hard. I will love you freely. But I do not feel my need of Christ as I could wish. I will not love you because you feel your need. I will love you freely. But I do not feel the softening of spirit which I could desire. Remember, the softening of spirit is not a condition, for there are no conditions. The covenant of grace has no conditionality whatever, so that we without any fitness may venture upon the promise of God which was made to us in Christ Jesus, which he said, He that believeth on him is not condemned. It is blessed to know that the grace of God is free to us at all times, without preparation, without fitness, without money, and without price. I will love them freely. These words invite backsliders to return. Indeed, the text was specifically written for such. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Backslider, surely the generosity of the promise will at once break your heart, and you will return and seek your injured father's face. All right, so our reading for today is going to be Jeremiah 39, 40, and 41, 2 Timothy 1, Psalm 90 and 91, and Proverbs 26, verses 1 and 2. Jeremiah 39. Now when Jerusalem was captured in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his military force came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the city was breached. Then all the officials of the king of Babylon came in and sat down at the middle gate. Nergal-sar-Ezer, Samgar-Nebu, Sar-Sekim, the Rabsaris, Nergal-sar-Ezer, the Rab-Mag, and all the rest of the officials of the king of Babylon. Now it happened that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them, they fled and went out of the city at night by way of the king's garden through the gate between the two walls, and he went out towards the Arabah. But the military force of the Chaldeans pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And they took him and brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, at Riblah in the land of Hamath, and he spoke judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes at Riblah. The king of Babylon also slaughtered all the nobles of Judah. He then blinded Zedekiah's eyes and bound him in fetters of bronze to bring him to Babylon. The Chaldeans also burned with fire the house of the king and the house of the people, and they tore down the walls of Jerusalem. And as for the rest of the people who remained in the city, the defectors who had gone over to him and the rest of the people who remained, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, took them away into exile in Babylon. But some of the poorest people who had nothing, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, had them remain in the land of Judah and gave them vineyards and fields at that time. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave a command about Jeremiah through Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, saying, Take him and set your eyes to look after him and do nothing harmful to him, but rather deal with him just as he speaks to you. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, sent word along with Nebushazban, the Rabsaris, and Nergal-Sar-Ezer, the Rabmag, and all the leading officers of the king of Babylon. They even sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the guard and gave him over to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, to take him home. So he stayed among the people. Now the word of Yahweh had come to Jeremiah while he was confined in the court of the guard, saying, Go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Thus says Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I am about to bring my words on this city for calamity and not for prosperity, and they will take place before you on that day. But I will deliver you on that day, declares Yahweh, and you will not be given into the hand of the men of whom you are terrified. For I will certainly provide you escape, and you will not fall by the sword, but you will have your own life as spoil, because you have trusted in me, declares Yahweh. Jeremiah 40. The word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh after Nebuzaradan, captain of the bodyguard, had released him from Ramah, when he had taken him bound in chains among all the exiles of Jerusalem and Judah who were being exiled to Babylon. And the captain of the bodyguard had taken Jeremiah and said to him, Yahweh your God promised this calamity against this place, and Yahweh has brought it on and done just as he promised, because you people sinned against Yahweh and did not listen to his voice. Therefore this thing has happened to you. So now behold, I am freeing you today from the chains which are on your hands. If it is a good in your eyes to come with me to Babylon, come along, and I will set my eyes to look after you. But if it is displeasing in your eyes to come with me to Babylon, never mind. Look, the whole land is before you. Go wherever it seems good and right in your eyes to go. But as Jeremiah had not yet set out to return, he said, Return then to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has appointed over the cities of Judah, and stay with him among the people, or else go anywhere that is right in your eyes to go. So the captain of the bodyguard gave him a ration and a gift and let him go. Then Jeremiah went to Mizpah to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and stayed with him among the people who remained in the land. Then all the commanders of the military force that were in the field, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah the son of Ahikam over the land, and that he had appointed him over the men, women, little ones, and those of the poorest of the land who had not been exiled to Babylon. So they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah, along with Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, and Jonathan the sons of Kareah, and Sariah the son of Tanhumeth, and the sons of Ephi the Netophathite, and Jezaniah the son of the Maccathite, both they and their men. Then Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swore to them and to their men, saying, Do not be afraid of serving the Chaldeans. Stay in the land and serve the king of Babylon, that it may go well with you. Now as for me, behold, I am going to stay at Mizpah to stand for you before the Chaldeans who come to us. But as for you, gather in wine and summer fruit and oil and put them in your storage vessels, and stay in your cities that you have seized, and also all the Jews who were in Moab and among the sons of Ammon and in Edom and who were in all the other lands heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant for Judah and that he had appointed over them Gedaliah the son of Ahikam the son of Shaphan. Then all the Jews returned from all the places to which they had been banished and came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah at Mizpah and gathered in wine and summer fruit in great abundance. Now Johanan the son of Kareah and all the commanders of the military force that were in the field came to Gedaliah at Mizpah and said to him, Do you indeed know that Baalis the king of the sons of Ammon has sent Ishmael the son of Nethaniah to strike down your life? But Gedaliah the son of Ahikam did not believe them. Then Johanan the son of Kareah spoke secretly to Gedaliah and Mizpah, saying, Let me go and strike down Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, and not a man will know. Why should he strike down your life, so that all the Jews who are gathered to you would be scattered, and the remnant of Judah would perish? But Gedaliah the son of Ahikam said to Johanan the son of Kareah, Do not do this thing, for you are telling a lie about Ishmael. Jeremiah 41. Now it happened in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama of the royal seed, and one of the chief officers of the king, along with 10 men, came to Mizpah to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and they were eating bread together there in Mizpah. Then Ishmael the son of Nethaniah and the 10 men who were with him arose and struck down Gedaliah the son of Ahikam the son of Shaphan with the sword and put to death the one whom the king of Babylon had appointed over the land. Ishmael also struck down all the Jews who were with him, that is, with Gedaliah at Mizpah, as well as the Chaldeans who were found there, the men of war. Now it happened on the next day after putting Gedaliah to death, when no one knew about it, that 80 men came from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, with their beards shaved off and their clothes torn and their bodies gashed, having grain offerings and frankincense in their hands, to bring to the house of Yahweh. Then Ishmael the son of Nethaniah went out from Mizpah to meet them, weeping as he went. And it happened that as he encountered them, he said to them, "Come to Gedaliah the son of Ahikam." But it happened that as soon as they came inside the city, Ishmael the son of Nethaniah and the men that were with him slaughtered them and cast them into the cistern. But 10 men who were found among them said to Ishmael, "Do not put us to death, for we have stores of wheat, barley, oil, and honey hidden in the field." So he refrained and did not put them to death along with their companions. Now as for the cistern where Ishmael had cast all the corpses of the men whom he had struck down because of Gedaliah, it was the one that King Asa had made on account of Baasha, the king of Israel. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, filled it with the slain. Then Ishmael took captive all the remnant of the people who were in Mizpah, the king's daughter, and all the people who remained in Mizpah, over whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, had appointed Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. Thus Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, took them captive and went to cross over to the sons of Ammon. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the military forces that were with him, heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done. So they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and they found him by the great pool that is in Gibeon. Now it happened, as soon as all the people who were with Ishmael saw Johanan the son of Kareah and all the commanders of the military forces that were with him, they were glad. So all the people whom Ishmael had taken captive from Mizpah turned around and returned and went to Johanan the son of Kareah. But Ishmael the son of Nethaniah escaped from Johanan with 8 men and went to the sons of Ammon. Then Johanan the son of Kareah and all the commanders of the military forces that were with him took from Mizpah all the remnant of the people whom he had returned from Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, after he had struck down Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, that is, the mighty men who were men of war, the women, the little ones, and the eunuchs whom he had returned from Gibeon. And they went and stayed in Geruth Chimham, which is beside Bethlehem, in order to proceed into Egypt, because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, since Ishmael the son of Nethaniah had struck down Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had appointed over the land. 2 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I unceasingly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, having remembered your tears, so that I may be filled with joy, being reminded of the unhypocritical faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am convinced that it is to you as that it is in you as well. For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. Therefore do not be ashamed of either the witness about our Lord or me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been manifested by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Hold to the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of this, that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. the Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. That's weird. Sorry. It didn't page forward. Sorry about that. All right. Psalm 90. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place from generation to generation, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O sons of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it blossoms and sprouts anew. Toward evening it withers away and dries up. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to might, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and wickedness, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger, and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Return, O Yahweh, how long will it be? And be sorry for your slaves. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your slaves, and your majesty to their sons. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish for us the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. Psalm 91. He who abides in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to Yahweh, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the destructive pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will take refuge. His truth is a large shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of terror by night or arrow that flies by day, of pestilence that moves in darkness, or of destruction that devastates at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes, and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made Yahweh my refuge, the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, and no plague will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the fierce lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will protect him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in his distress. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. And finally, Proverbs 26, verses 1 and 2. Like snow in summer, and like rain in harvest, so glory is not fitting for a fool. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in flying, so a curse without cause does not come to pass. All right, that is our reading for the day. Our evening devotion is, the text for it is from John 16:15. He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. There are times when all the promises and doctrines of the Bible are of no avail, unless a gracious hand shall imply them to us. We are thirsty, but too faint to crawl to the water brook. When a soldier is wounded in battle, it is of little use for him to know that there are those of the hospital who can bind up his wounds, and medicines there to ease all the pains which he now suffers. What he needs is to be carried thither, and to have the remedies applied. It is thus with our souls, and to meet this need, there is one, even the Spirit of Truth, who takes the things of Jesus and applies them to us. Think not that Christ hath placed his joys on heavenly shelves, that we may climb up to them for ourselves, but he draws near and sheds his peace abroad in our hearts. O Christian, if thou art tonight laboring under deep distresses, thy Father does not give thee promises and then leave thee to draw them up from the word like buckets from a well. but the promises he has written in the word he will write anew on your heart. He will manifest his love to you, and by his blessed Spirit dispel your cares and troubles. Be it known unto thee, O mourner, that it is God's prerogative to wipe every tear from the eyes of his people. The good Samaritan did not say, "Here is the wine, and here is the oil for you." He actually poured in the oil and the wine, so Jesus not only gives you the sweet wine of the promise, but holds the golden chalice to your lips and pours the lifeblood into your mouth. The poor, sick, wayworn pilgrim is not merely strengthened to walk, but he is borne on eagle's wings. Glorious gospel, which provides everything for the helpless, which draws nigh to us when we cannot reach after it, brings us grace before we seek for grace. Here is as much glory in the giving as in the gift. Happy people who have the Holy Ghost to bring Jesus to them. All right, well, that is our episode for the day. Again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day. If you've not already worshiped with the saints, please do so. I encourage you so much to do so. If you're unable to, please join us on our live stream. We'll be live streaming at, 10:30 Arizona time, so 1:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. You can find us at Vail Valley Baptist Church on Facebook and at VVB Church on Twitter, and we'll be live streaming there. So we would be happy for you to join us if you don't have a place where you can worship physically with the saints. I hope you have yourself a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Let's go ahead and close out with the Lord's Day evening prayer. Let's pray. Most holy God, may the close of an earthly Sabbath remind me that the last of them will one day end. Animate me with joy that in heaven praise will never cease, that adoration will continue forever, that no flesh will grow weary, no congregations disperse, no affections flag, no thoughts wander, no will droop, but all will be adoring love. Guard my mind from making ordinances my stay or trust, from hewing out broken cisterns, from resting on outward helps. Wing me through earthly forms to thy immediate presence. May my feeble prayers show me the emptiness and vanity in my sins. Deepen in me the conviction that my most fervent prayers and most lowly confessions need to be repented of. May my best services bring me nearer to the cross and prompt me to cry, "None but Jesus." By thy Spirit give abiding life to the lessons of this day. May the seed sown take deep root and yield a full harvest. Let all who see me take knowledge that I have been with thee, that thou hast taught me my need as a sinner, hast revealed a finished salvation to me, hast enriched me with all spiritual blessings, hast chosen me to show forth Jesus to others, hast helped me to dispel the myths of unbelief. O great Creator, mighty Protector, gracious Preserver, thou dost load me with loving kindnesses, and hast made me thy purchased possession, and redeemed me from all guilt. I praise and bless thee for my Sabbath rest, my calm conscience, my peace of heart. Amen. All right, well, again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Have a good one. God bless.